Hi, this is Steve Addison for the Movements Podcast, the podcast for people who want to multiply disciples and churches everywhere. Today we're in New York and we're talking to Matt Foshee about what to do when your vision far exceeds reality.
So Matt, why are you in New York?
I would say ultimately it's connected to God's heart for lostness. New York being, I would say, the biggest gap of lostness in the U.S., both in the sheer just concentration of lostness itself, the number of people that are lost, but also in the number of unreached people groups. New York, if just the unreached people groups in New York were counted as its own city, it would be the second largest city in the United States. So significant amount of lostness here. I would say for us, it was also somewhat surprising to be here in some ways, and in some ways it wasn't. We actually considered a move to New York before we moved to Utah. So we served out in Utah from 2017 to 2021 for about 4 years. And we had been laboring out there for about 2 years. And I was on a phone conversation with a good brother, and he just mentioned New York on the phone conversation as a gap of lostness. And in that moment, I feel like the Holy Spirit just pierced my heart and lifted my eyes up, you know, in a season where we weren't anticipating a move of any sort in that way. But God just began to bring that to my heart. And I took a trip to New York in March of 2020 for a training, and then came back and, you know, pretty much immediately share with my wife, hey, it's possible God could be calling us here. So I just began a season of fasting and prayer and a lot of conversation with people that were in our lives, in our church, and people that were, you know, mentoring and coaching us. And about a year later, we yielded to that call to move to New York. And it's funny, initially we thought we were going to move 1 year after we decided to move, and we ended up moving 2.5 months later. So God's plans, you know, we had plans in our heart, but God determined the steps, you know. And so we landed here in Queens in August of 2021. So,
okay. And what's it like to move a family from Utah to New York?
That's a great question. You know, the funny thing is, in the United States, we moved from the least diverse place in the United States, which would be Utah, to the most diverse place in the United States, which would be Queens. So I would say it by far was the hardest transition our family has made in any move that we've made. Both in terms of moving to an urban culture, we had only or always lived in rural or suburban areas in our lives. So moving to a place like New York, super urban, is very challenging, you know, getting used to some of the rhythms of the city and how the city functions and that sort of thing. But then also moving into Queens, where we were in the minority as far as, you know, the people around us, and getting adjusted to all the different languages and the different people groups and those types of things, you know, actually was way more challenging than we anticipated, I think, would be the best way to say it. So it took us a while to adjust. And we actually took about 2 months on the front end in that move, really stepped out of the work and just really worked on getting the family adjusted and getting the family settled for about 2 months right at the beginning of the move. So that was a really, I think that was a really fruitful decision, you know, to do that. So,
okay. And how did you get started in the work? Where did you begin?
So right after we moved here, we took that 2 months to get the family settled, but we also got connected with some other workers that were here, some of which had been here for a year or two, some had been here for a month, and we started gathering in a house church with them, you know, and within the next, actually the first 6 months of living here, there were two more units that moved to New York as well to labor, you know, towards the same vision to multiply disciples, churches, and leaders. And so we could tell God was working because he was mobilizing people, sending people in the same time frame. And so that first season, you know, the 2 months of getting adjusted, we really just started in relationship with some of these existing workers, while also, you know, there was a season where in my own neighborhood, we did 30 days in the harvest, you know, just really engaging 30 days in a row, sharing the gospel out in the neighborhood, prayer walking, those types of things. And then in the spring of 2022, so we moved in August of 21. So the spring of 2022, myself and another coworker entered into an extended fast. And coming out of that fast, one of the things that I felt like God was just putting on my heart was just a vision to see the 10, you know, biggest people group gaps, the 10 largest place gaps across Metro New York engaged and reached with the gospel. And so came out of that fast, and I just identified, you know, with the help of some others, the top 10 people group gaps across Metro New York, and what we believed are that, you know, or were that and are that. And then also the top 10 place gaps. But we also knew that we couldn't just start doing that. We had to start somewhere, right? So we lived in Queens, and the workers that we were connected to were in Queens. And so what we did in Queens, we actually decided to identify 5 people group gaps and the 5 place gaps in Queens. And so that's what we began to do. And we started just to labor together around those 5 people group gaps and the 5 place gaps, really just doing a lot of gospeling, a lot of prayer walking, a lot of gospeling, doing some networking. God even opened up some opportunities to train as well. And I would say in that first year, we really labored, you know, really closely going after that 5 peoples and 5 places together in Queens. So God began speaking to myself and my wife about working among Urdu speakers, which in New York, there weren't really any workers that were taking ownership for Urdu speakers. And so
where do Urdu speakers come from?
Urdu speakers primarily are from Pakistan. So although there's some Urdu speakers in northern India as well, but a large part of them are from Pakistan. So, but we discovered that there's a large pocket of them in Brooklyn. I actually reached out to a brother here that I already knew, who was a coworker, who spoke Punjabi and has a lot of experience working with South Asians. And so he and I began to go over weekly, to this place in Brooklyn, to engage together. It was really awesome. We were learning together. He has a lot of the language and culture and a lot of experience with South Asians. So we were learning together. We did some prayer walking, but then we ended up finding a tea shop or a restaurant, if you will, and started frequenting that. And I had ended up, God had given my wife a dream about what he was wanting to do among Urdu speakers. And so I went into this tea shop one day, and I just asked one of the guys working behind the counter. I said, "Hey, I know this may sound crazy, but my wife had a dream about Urdu speakers. Do you speak Urdu?" And he was like, "Yeah, I do." And I said, "Well, you know, are you from Pakistan?" And he said, "Yes, I am." And I said, "Well, man, here's the dream that God gave my wife. Would you have any idea like what that would mean, you know?" And he looked at me and he said, "Hang on, I need to introduce you to this other guy." And so he brings this other guy to me who is a Christian background believer, Pakistani Christian background believer. 19 years old. Man, that honestly began a relationship with that brother that over the next season, we really were really just trying to help him learn to make disciples. You know, he had actually only been in the United States for about a year. So he was in a lot of transition and all of his family was still in Pakistan. So it hasn't really gotten, you know, traction in the way that we would have wanted. But there's a lot of relationship that has been built. And he also connected us to a lot of other relationships in that area. So that would be one example. I would say as we were engaging, a really neat story as well, as we were engaging in that Brooklyn area among the Pakistanis, one day we went into this shop and we met a lady. She was working in the shop, and we just asked if we could pray for her. And as we were praying, one of her friends came in, And we ended up praying for her as well. And in the course of that conversation, just asked them, hey, have either of you ever had a dream where a man in white appeared to you? And one of the ladies looked at us and she said, yes, I have. Actually, I've had two dreams that way. And so really, really cool. We ended up, obviously, you know, we are trying to help her and show her how that point that that's actually Jesus. And the crazy thing is that was right before the winter, and she went back to Pakistan for the winter. But before she did, we were able to get her an Urdu Bible, and she's been reading the Bible, and she's actually coming back soon. So we're excited to get back connected with her and see what God's doing there. So in that first year, we were teaming really closely with some of those other coworkers around those five peoples and five places, just in Queens primarily. In that first season as well, when we first moved out, I also had gotten connected with a brother and his wife who lived in New Jersey, just on the other side of New York City, but still included in the New York metro. And this brother and his wife just had a real heart and vision to see the unreached Central Asian people groups across metro New York reached. And he was, you know, he had teaming that was connected to that. And so we entered into a relationship with him as well. And we've been teaming with those guys while also in that first year teaming, you know, in Queens. And then starting in the spring of 23, when we had that, when God started speaking about working with Urdu speakers, the other thing that happened in that season was God started opening up opportunities in some of the other boroughs for myself, particularly with in other people that God had given vision to see disciples and churches, multiplying. So, in that season, I honestly pulled out a lot of working in Queens, although the work is still, man, it's bearing a lot of fruit here. And, but God, I started pursuing some of these other areas where there wasn't much work, among Pakistanis in Brooklyn, up in Harlem, in the Bronx and, Staten Island. And so that season, actually, it's probably been for the last year or so. That's really where I've been focusing my time, is outside of Queens, primarily, trying to get some new work opened up and new work started. So, and still honestly teaming a lot with the Central Asian, workers as well. God's doing some amazing things, through them, honestly, among Central Asians right now. So it's pretty cool. Steve, I know you know a brother named Augie, and honestly, probably many people listening to this podcast may know Augie as well. Augie's a dear brother. And this would have been last year, 2023. Augie had gotten connected with a brother here named Omar. Omar is from a people group called the Garufuna people, which they're out of Honduras, originally migrated from West Africa, but they're from Honduras, so they speak Spanish. And Augie ends up connecting me and Omar. And so in that season, began to relate with Omar and another brother that was working with him named Elvis. We started doing some basic disciple-making training with some of their, I would say some of their younger generation who really spoke English really well. But also in the process, Augie kept this relationship with these guys as well. And so we did that for probably, 6 to 8 months or so. And then we actually decided to bring these guys together in December, just before Christmas, actually. And, so we pulled together, there's probably 8 to 10 of these guys that were in the work at this point, Garufuna, people who have a heart for the Spanish speakers, but also some other people groups. And we just called it a wig take meeting, what we did with them. So we basically brought 8 to 10 of them together, and we just wrestled through the question with them of what's it going to take to see the people and places reached that God's put on your heart. Gotten the word together a lot. And man, it was crazy. Coming out of that weekend, these brothers and sisters came away with some clear targets, five peoples, five places. So we actually just call that a 5x5, is some shortened language that we have begun to call that. And the same thing with the 10 peoples, 10 places, we call it a 10x10. But they came away with clear targets, and I would say even a clear vision for the next 3 years to see streams of 4G church in those segments. And so that's been really awesome. Honestly, what it's looked like is Augie is doing, so we basically also countered out some rhythms with those guys for 2024. And Augie is doing some online Zoom training with them. And then he's coming out next month and we're going to be doing an intensive. So they started out with some of the basic training. And then in March, we're going to actually do a Spanish speaking intensive with them. I'm not going to train because I don't speak a lick of Spanish, so I can't do that. But Augie's working with them. I'm actually on this other side on the ground here, working and building relationship with these guys. I'm also helping them start a monthly, basically like a leadership meeting that would be connected around problem solving and helping them, you know, really go after that vision that they said that they wanted to go after. And so that's what it's looked like up until this point. And we also have some, you know, throughout this year, another, Four Fields training intensive that we're going to do with them later in the year. But then also we have a, what we call a mid-level, which would just be a problem solving retreat scheduled as well, with these guys. So, but it's been really awesome because Augie and myself we're working it together. You know, it's been pretty cool. And honestly, he's got the language and a lot of those pieces and I'm on the ground. And so we're kind of tag teaming it together and learning a ton in the process, honestly. And I would say another one is really probably the story of what's happening with the Central Asian workers here. Honestly, this relationship that we got connected to right at the beginning of our time here, we actually stayed with this family the night we were driving into New York as we were moving. So it was really cool. It actually turns out we had met them in Raleigh, North Carolina, like 5 or 6 years prior to that. But we didn't have any relationship with them. So anyways, this relationship starts to take off. Say the fruit of that ministry is that people from Turkey, people who are Afghans, people who are Iranian are actually being reached with the gospel. And they've seen a church form and are starting to see the seeds of another church form as well, even just here in Metro New York. Now, that's just one side of it. The other side of that is these brothers and sisters that we've been having the opportunity to serve through some coaching and training and coaching and that sort of thing, they are connected to some workers over in Turkey as well. And even one of these guys is connected to an Afghan who's in Pakistan. And so they're also starting to train and coach other people that are in, other countries such as Turkey and even Pakistan. So, and they're starting to see disciples and even churches flow out over there as well, which is pretty cool.
Matt, what's the dream that God's given you for New York and beyond?
Yeah, the dream. So I feel like the vision that we've been pursuing, what God put on our heart here for New York, was to see 100 apostolic bands across Metro New York reaching 1,000 segments. And by segments, we just mean people groups or places. That's really the vision and the dream God put on our heart. And that's what we've been pursuing, honestly. And I would say by God's grace, we're seeing the seeds of that really start to happen, which is really humbling. At the same time, what is our dream and what has been the vision we've been pursuing for New York? As I mentioned earlier, God has started speaking to us about what he's wanting to do among Urdu speakers. And it's not just here in New York. It's honestly globally. And so we're actually in a season where we are fasting, praying, talking with a lot of people about a potential move overseas even to actually begin engaging Urdu speakers on a global, on a global scale, potentially. So that's what we're praying through now. So our heart really is in a lot of ways being drawn, there for what God's wanting to do among them while it's also here. And so I would say this season, in a lot of ways, we are postured really towards exit as we're, fasting and praying and seeking the Lord regarding the next season of our life. So,
and what do you need to see in place in order to feel like it's time to exit?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question, brother. So I'll tell you what I've been asking the Lord for, and maybe that'll speak to what I feel like needs to be in place. So what I've been asking the Lord for is by the end of this year, by the end of 2024, there would be 6 to 10 leaders that honestly represent teaming and teams, but 6 to 10 leaders that could come together really around a wig take vision, a what's it going to take vision to see Metro New York reached with the gospel. And for those leaders to own that vision, to go after that together, to pursue it together, but also recognizing some of them are going to be engaging different targets, and where they can, they'll team together around those targets and learn together. But that, I would say, that's really what, you know, what we've been praying for, and which is, you know, interesting, because I feel like that 6 to 10. So if it was on the 10, if it ended up being 10, that would be about 10% of the 100 apostolic bands that we believe God put on our heart for this, you know, this city. So yeah, that's where we're at right now. And we're really just postured, as I said earlier, man, we're postured to, we really want to see others do greater works than ourselves, you know, much like the heart of Jesus. And we want to be people that give the kingdom away, that actually allow others to stand on our shoulders. And we just thrust them, you know, forward to do greater works in that process. And they're the ones actually, you know, bearing the fruit for the kingdom in that process. So, feel really, really honored, man, really humbled to play a small part, you know?
Well, thanks for listening. Now, if you're in Canada or the United States, I'll be on a book tour around Acts and the movement of God, starting east and headed west. On my way home to Australia, I'll be in North America throughout the month of March 2024. Check out the details at movements.net. I'm Steve Addison for the Movements Podcast.